Yesterday, I thought I had everything worked out for tonight's message. Got up this morning, and it felt like everything was going well, and this was where the Lord was leading me, and then things began to change. It just didn't come. It just didn't fit. Today was a real blessing for me. Mark took me on a bit more of a tour of your landscape and location around here, and that was really neat for me. Very special. Here's why. Half of the people that we deal with in Montana come from Pennsylvania. Not a lot of people, granted, compared to what you got back here, but half of the people I work with come from Pennsylvania. And to be wide open with you tonight, there have been times I have been thinking, what is going on in Pennsylvania? Forgive me if that's too straightforward. Here you are in the William Penn experiment, the place where they wanted to set up a colony that would be very opposite of what they had over in Europe, a place of freedom, religious freedom that was included in. William Penn himself perhaps was not such a godly man, but his experiment included giving the people complete religious freedom. You look at the map of the names of the towns back here. I didn't do my homework today. I wanted to have that. But you look at the names of the towns back here, and you can see the mentality of some of the people that settled here. Godly names. Spiritual names. You go to the west, and you've got Hell's Canyon. You've got Devil's Knob. You've got Crazy Ladies Valley. And you got all kinds of names like that to show you the mentality of the people that moved west. They weren't godly people. It was a wild bunch that settled out there. That's a rabbit trail. It's different, but several of the ones that have been coming out there are coming in a reactionary mode. Running. Trying to find who they are. Trying to find a place of rest and peace for their soul, and thinking they got the ideas. And my heart bleeds for them, because I was where they are. And I long to minister to them. But it all takes time. It takes a lot of work. It takes trust. It takes relationship, and all those things take time. And I don't always do everything right either. Confession. But we try. Mark took me to Shady Maple today. Any folks ever been to Shady Maple? It was hard to leave that place. My wants were stretched to the limit. The Lord hold me in, because, whew, that's good stuff. What's that got to do with the message? Turn with me to Revelation 3. I don't know where you're at with the book of Revelation. I understand there's a lot of conflict in what people believe in the book of Revelation, especially in the more conservative circles. But I hope we can agree that we are the last church age that it's talking about here in Revelation 3. I'd like to just simply say what God says tonight. What does God say about the tendencies of the last church age? Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. One of the things that makes me mad, Gary, again, if I can just be open and honest, to these fellas that come from Pennsylvania. They come out there and they say, we wanted to get away. But they're there a little bit, and they look around, and they see all the needs that Montana has for industry. And they get busy, and they work, and they work, and they work. And they're building these big businesses. All the while, they said, we wanted to get away. All they're doing is moving, and they're building it out there. And they're bringing their culture with them. And I know that sounds pretty negative, but that's the point that I want to bring. Today's tour gave me a bit more understanding. Now I see why. When you've got all this knowledge of what can be, a little boy like me from Davis County, I never seen such building up as that. It's starting to happen in Davis County, but wow. And to be in a smorgasbord like Shady Maple and have all that right there, and to feel that from pulling from myself, I want all this. Lord, hold me in. I'm no different, given the opportunity. Today helped me a lot to understand. Just in a little bitty tour. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I've got Shady Maple. And knowest not that thou art wretched. God says this. I'm not saying this. God says this. Miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Then the cry goes out, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God wrote this, inspired this thousands of years ago before Shady Maple was ever a thought. And he's hitting it right on the head, brothers and sisters. He knows our nature. He knows how settled we can become in this life, and we just want to set up our tent and camp and say, I've got it all. When we don't have near the riches that he wants to lavish out upon us. What are those riches? Let me ask you a question. How many people in this area that have made it big, their businesses have boomed? How many of these people in this area have had a struggle with their children when it came time to pass those riches on? Do you know any? Some it goes okay, and others... That's the dilemma that God is weighing on my heart tonight. I am not condemning Pennsylvania. I'm not condemning your businesses. God bless your businesses. God bless Pennsylvania. But we are the children of the King. And God wants to pass His riches on to us. And for some it goes pretty good, and for others, it goes to our head. I can be a Christian. And in today in America, what does Christian mean anymore? Everybody's a Christian. When I went to Oregon, I went there with the zeal and the desire to preach the gospel. I thought I was going to a land where they didn't know about Jesus, and I was going to be a front runner preaching the gospel. That was what was in the heart of this little Davis County boy. And I went out there, and they all knew about Jesus. They knew the story. They were, I won't say they were all Christian. We go into the prison there in Shelby, Montana. And every one of them prisoners don't deserve to be in there. They're all in there because they were falsely accused. 100% of them, almost. You see the problem? There's a disconnect somewhere. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. God says some pretty hard things, brothers and sisters. You can go away from here tonight and you can be angry with that evangelist. But I just want to say what God says. Here's what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Larry Crabb says the only way we can know our own heart is through a brother, sister, someone that'll walk along with us and be honest with us. Wow. Wow. That's the only way I can know I know my heart. God says, no, you don't know your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need people speaking into our lives and being willing to say the hard things. That's tough for me. I'd rather be a friend. I'd rather be a good guy that just says good things and just pats people on the back. God says, say what I say. I had a different message planned for tonight. I haven't really been fighting with it, but I've been just in a turmoil in my mind all day what to bring. And tonight I left Sam's house and we was talking till 10 till 7, and I wanted to hurry to get here, and I thought I knew my way, and the first thing I knew, I ended up in Kentucky. Pequot Dam, somewhere down in there. I don't know how I got there, but that's where I was, and I was punching on the GPS, and the GPS ain't even got service down there. I was in Kentucky. I didn't know the roads went to Kentucky from here, but that's where I was. But God knew what I needed, because in that extra driving time, God was speaking to my heart. He said, Craig, that's not the message for tonight. Here's the message. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. My heart is like that. Can you say back to God, my heart is like that. I do not know my own heart. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that, my friend, is a blessing or it's a curse. It's up to each one of us. If God's going to give back to you according to your own ways, will they be good? Will they be righteous? Will it be blessings beyond measure? Or will it be payment for sin and indulgence and playing games with God? That's the question I have for a lot of the folks that are running, moving west. What are you here for? What are you looking for? What did you think you left behind? It comes along. We can't run away from our hearts. Only God can change a heart. Only God can lead us in righteous ways. Turn with me in Proverbs 9. Some verses here that I've always loved. Seven through ten, Proverbs 9. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Then it switches. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I wish I'd have realized that when I first moved to Montana. And it's not just Montana. It's becoming a national epidemic. If you want to stand for God and say what God says, you're going to get a lot of enemies. They're going to say to you, shut up and get out of my life. I know where I'm going. I've got Jesus as my Savior. Teach me good things. Praise me. Pat me on the back. Because I'm good. Why? Because we think we're rich and full and have need of nothing when we're naked and empty and wretched and miserable. God's talking about spiritual things. I built a house last summer for a man, his wife, and they're not Christians. They've lived, they have three daughters. Their daughters are on their teen years now, and they've lived all these years in a little bitty house. Three small bedrooms and one bathroom. He's done well farming. He's made money. Now we built him a 6,000 square foot house with six bathrooms. And they're on their way up in the world. But it's been striking me while we've been building this big old house. Now, if needs be, he can have a bathroom, his wife can have a bathroom, all three of his daughters can be in their own bathroom. And individualism is ripe and prime. And I wonder 10 years from now what that'll do to his family. Get out of my bathroom. You got your own. This is my stuff. You go over there in your own bedroom. Where before, because of the situation, they were forced to be involved in each other's lives. Now, am I saying it's wrong to have a big house? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that convenience isn't always the best thing. And we are overloaded in America with convenience. And we like it. We like it. It's like sugar to my taste buds. I like it. And it's God's blessing, so I ought to take it all. just like being in Shady Maple today. We need to know where to draw the lines, or we'll walk out of there, whoa, I'm miserable with all the good stuff. And from talking to people that are around restaurants quite a bit, it's fairly common anymore in those type of restaurants where people go into them and they eat and they eat and they eat, and then they go in the bathroom and throw up so they can go back out and eat some more. Because there's something about the eating that is just such a fulfillment. I'm saying some pretty negative stuff. I know this is pretty heavy. But God, help us see where we are. Turn with me in Galatians chapter 5. God has called us into freedom. God is lavishing on us His love. Galatians is a wonderful book. It's a book that talks about breaking out, being free, and not turning back. But I just have a lot of questions. What is freedom? What is liberty? What does God mean by that? And I don't have all the answers. I'm still digging through it in my own spirit and soul. Let's read. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we could do that, the rest of what he writes here wouldn't be necessary at all. But the fact is, we haven't done so well at it. But, verse 15, the opposite of the goodness of what he just said there. But, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. As I said the other night, the church... In the church, we have the most potential for good. We also have the most potential for hardened knocks and evil and hatred and fighting, because the devil himself is trying to spur it on. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There again is another secret. He's giving us big things here. Just walk in the Spirit. It'll take care of itself. But the battle rages, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Why does he say that? Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Paul talked about that in Romans 7, the battle that rages in our own being. The story is given about a great general that was a great student of war. And as he studied why there is such thing as wars, and what gets them started, and not just wanting to be a soldier, but he wanted to figure out why do people fight. He came to the conclusion, we have found the enemy, and the enemy is me. The enemy is me. James talks about that. Whence comes wars and fightings among us? From that carnal nature in me. He gives here then a list of sins. Paul lists 24 separate sins in different lists in the Scriptures. And I'll just skip over those for time's sake tonight, but let's look at the end of verse 21. He just simply says here, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I praise God for the stand that, what's his name, Papa Duck stood here a while back on Duck Dynasty, when somehow the media was having a conversation with him and they asked him point blank what he thought of homosexuality. He just read the scripture verse. Wow, what that did in our country. Would you have read the verse? Or would you have ducked the situation? No pun intended. But I'm thankful that there are men like that who'll stand up. I don't know about the rest of his life. I don't know the show or anything, but I thought that was really neat. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There are attributes, there are characteristics that we can have that there's no negative involved with them. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. I had to do that today at Shady Maple. Taste buds, shut up. I got to get out of this place. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's go back to the Old Testament. In Genesis. The first part of the story I'll tell you, and the rest we'll read from God's Word. And let God speak from His Word. There was a man named Abraham. The Bible says he was rich. God had blessed him. And as he walked with the Lord, he knew the blessings of God. And just trying to look, so if you wanted to look at it, you can find it. But I can just tell you, it's here in one of these 12, 13, somewhere around there. And I'm not laying my eyes on it right now. But he had a nephew. His name was Lot. Lot worked with Abraham. Lot was a blessing. Abraham was an uncle to him. They had a good relationship. As he was there working with Abraham, Lot prospered as well. And it came to the point, because of their prosperity, their flocks covered the land, and they had hired servants that took care of the flocks, and lo and behold, because of the competition of their flocks, one day they heard that Abraham's servant and Lot's servant had a fuss out there in the field because they were trying to take care, do their best job for their master and take care of the flocks. And when Abraham and Lot heard about that, they said, "We can't have that. We don't want that." So they were there somewhere on the hills. And Abraham said to his nephew, "You pick. Your choice. Go ahead. Pick where you want to go, but we're going to have to give more room between our flocks." And Lot looked around. He looked at those old dry hills, rocky, tough. And he looked down in the valley. There in the valley it was green. The water, the streams glistened from there in the hills. And he could see the well-watered plains and the grass that grew. And he thought. And he said, "Uncle, I think I'll go down there. And Abraham said, God bless you. And they departed from each other. Do you see what Lot did? My question is, was that the best choice? Well, is there anything wrong with the valley? Well, no. Was anything wrong with the valley? Was it easier down there? Well, yeah, it was easier down there. Let's read now. Chapter 18. The first part of the chapter that God appeared to them, was talking to them, and was telling them about Isaac. Verse 14, I want you to see something very interesting there. After Sarah had laughed, she kind of chuckled, can God give a 90-year-old lady a baby? God answered her, verse 14, and said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the all-sufficient one? The one who is omnipotent, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful. Is anything too hard for him? Was the question. If you want to do some studying, look back with me in Luke. Isaac was a miracle baby. And he was born. It was fulfilled what God said. The fact was, nothing was too hard for God. Jesus was another miracle baby. And to the Virgin Mary, it was told in Luke chapter 2. Excuse me, chapter 1, verse 37. The angel told her about Elizabeth. And then in verse 37, he says this, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It's literally the same wording, the same thing that God told to Abraham and Sarah, God told to Mary. And it literally means here, no word shall be powerless that God says, and God said there's going to be a Messiah. I just think that's neat how God does the same thing in different places. It shows the importance, the type that Isaac was, the miracle baby, of the type of Christ, the miracle child, born of a virgin. Let's go back now to Genesis. Verse 17, chapter 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And I think some of these things are interesting as we read them in the Scripture. God didn't need to go see. God already knew. But this scenario was set up. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And Abraham was thinking. He knew the situation down there in Sodom. He knew what situation Lot was in by now. As these years had passed, he heard stories. He knew what he was facing down there. And Abraham had a burden on his heart. God was going to go down there. And it led into this. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, If I find there 40 and 5, God can do math. If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. He said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto them, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there be 30. Now he's jumping by tens. Be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there should be 20 there. He said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And Lot was thinking, Abraham was thinking, how many children does Lot have? How many grandchildren? How many? He said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. There came 2 angels to Sodom at even. And check out this scenario. How does God know how to find us out? How does God know how to set things up? Check out this scenario. Came 2 angels when? In the evening. Why didn't they come in the morning? They came in the evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, Behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they say, Nay, but we're going to sleep in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly. You don't want to do that. Yeah, we're going to sleep in the street. No, you don't. Come to my house. I've got blankets. I've got food. Come to my. No, we're going to sleep in the street. Lot knew what goes on in the street. No, you come. He got pressed upon them greatly. And they turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Do you know what that word means, to know them? The Bible says in Genesis 3:4, wherever it goes on there to talk about Adam, that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Bring them out that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door and to them and shut the door after him. He pleaded with the people, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And catch this next verse. How do you go there? How do you get there? Behold, now I have 2 daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now to us. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. In other words, they were saying, you're a stranger down here with us a lot. We're not going to listen to you. That's kind of what they were saying. Put it in your own words there. What were they saying? We're going to do what we want to do in our city. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Even when they were blinded, they were still trying to find the door. Can you imagine this setting? And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? Whatever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, Lot had a job to do. What do you think it was like for Lot in those next few hours? Here were his children. They'd married in this place. He'd watched them all these years. He tried, evidently. Peter calls him a righteous man, a godly man that vexed his soul in this place. But he continued living in that place. He thought, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Now he had a job on his hand. Go gather in your family, Lot. He didn't know about the 10 that Abraham had prayed them down to, but oh, if he could just round up 10. If he could just find 10. He went out to his family. I don't know how many children he had. He pled with them. We got to go. Leave everything. We got to go. What are you talking about, Dad? This is home. This is our home. This is my stuff. I can't leave my stuff. We got to go. We got to go. Dad, you're crazy. You go home and get some sleep. What's wrong with you, Dad? Go get some sleep. No, I'm not getting any sleep. I'm not crazy. We got to go. God is here. We got to go. It's not worth it. Forget it. We got to go. Dad, we're not leaving. This is home. They gave Lot time while he was pleading. Soon they said, Lot, we need to get out of here. Verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So did he just have the two children? I don't know if I'm getting the story right on that part. Check me out on that. I don't want to tell a wrong story. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the angels, the men, took hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot, go, go. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Lot said unto them, oh no, oh not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me. So he pleaded with them, and they allowed him to go into the city of Zoar. If I'm saying that right. Verse 21, and he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. I don't know what that means. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom, upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that were and that which grew upon the ground. But as they were leaving, there was something going on in another heart. Don't look back. Go and don't look back. Do not look back. But there was something going on in another heart. That was my home. That was my stuff. That was my house. That was my life. And what's going on back there? And his wife turned and looked back. But his wife looked back from behind him. Lot couldn't look back. Is the picture I get where they still leading them by the hand, leading them away, and they said, look dead ahead, do not look back. Lot didn't know his losses till he got further away. His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow where he overthrew the cities which Lot dwelt. I'd like to ask you the question. Was it worth it? For Lot to go down there and live among the plenty, to just soak and bathe his soul and his in the goodness of God. I think this story teaches us. I don't know where you'll go with this, but I just think this story teaches us to keep checking our hearts. What's got our heart, Christian? What's got our heart? I think that's the idea that God wants us to hear. What direction are we going? Because this whole earth is going the wrong direction. Are we going to get comfortable with it like Lot did? Going through the book of Corinthians in our church at home, I went through where Paul says that everything's going to be tried by fire. Everything we do, everything we have, everything we love. If what we've put ourselves into is straw and wooden things, it's going to burn up. Like Lot's stuff all burned up. Lot left that place bankrupt. Spiritually, struggling. He made it out of there. God had mercy on them. So say what you can about Lot. Relationally, his family was torn apart. Losses were heavy. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, will there be blessings or will there be losses? Will it be worth it, what we've done, what we've put ourselves into? Will we say, oh, if only I would have. I don't know where this goes. I don't say this as a rebuke. I just got to say what God says. May God lead you with wisdom in how this message comes home. But God says, through the Lord Jesus Christ, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and He'll do the blessing. We can do blessings through our business, through the prospering that God gives us, but we need to be careful. We can find our way in a prosperous society with a lot of conveniences, but we need to be careful. That's what God wants us to hear. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Or the opposite, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. I don't know where to go from here. I just want to let it up to you. And Jude, if you'd turn with me there. There's a benediction, a prayer, a blessing. I'd like it to look like us to look at it. Verses 24 and 25. Only one chapter in Jude. You can't go wrong. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able. Was that what Lot was trusting in? We don't know. But somehow things went wrong for Lot. God is able to keep you from falling in some very tough situations. He's kept me. By his own glory. It's not wrong to get ourselves in some pretty tough situations sometimes when you want to go there for God. And quite honestly, I've been in some tough situations that I went there on my own and God had to bail me out. He'll do the same for you. If you're trying. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Faultless? God would present me faultless? Can we say, God says I'll be faultless before him? Can we say that back to him? Just don't let your heart deceive you. I mentioned about the 24 things, the 24 sins that Paul lists. I have talked to people that you could show them that here, you're in this list. Here's what you're doing. You're in this list. And it says at the end of this list, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And they look me in the eye and say, I'm a Christian. I'm fine where I am. God says he's able to present us faultless. But don't lie to yourself, brothers and sisters. Don't get tricked up. Don't follow that deceitful heart, because it can lie to you. Be careful. Tread lightly, brothers and sisters. And be careful in this world that we live. God is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's joy in the presence of God. Now to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. If you've got work to do with God tonight, God wants to do work with you. I don't mean this as a rebuke. I've tried my best to read it straight from the Word. What God says. May God bless you in this place as you are a light in this place. May God bless the work of your hands. May God make your words not fall to the ground as you minister in this place. But be careful. Let me go one more place. Luke. Luke 17, 22. He said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all, and they all laughed at Noah. Noah, you've been working for 150 years, and what kind of fruitcake are you? It's going to rain from that sky. It never rained from that sky. Where'd you get your information, Noah? Noah didn't have this book in his day. But we've got the book to give us information. Verse 28. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then this three-word verse. Remember Lot's wife. God just simply says, remember Lot's wife. Pretty easy memory verse. One step harder than Jesus wept. You got children, where you at? Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we stand in awe of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the giving of your Holy Spirit, for the giving of your word, the written word, so that we can know. I pray, Lord, as you've spoken to us tonight from your word, help us each in our situation. Help us each to do a heart check. Help us each to find someone that'll help us hear the hard things. Help us to be the ones that'll be willing to say the hard things in this world that says, shut up and be silent. Help us say what you say. And God, I pray your blessing upon these people, the saints that are here in Pennsylvania. Lord, may you bless, may you lead, may you give them your guiding. May you keep them from falling. May they find themselves to the straight and narrow. May they be part of the few and not be part of the many. And I thank you that you're able to do that. I pray in Jesus' name.